I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles and open it to Hebrews chapter 10. That's going to be the first of a few passages that we're going to look at together, Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to talk just briefly with you about our assembly, about why we're here and what we're doing here. I love this church, and I don't know that I say that enough, but I love this group of people. I feel very blessed by God to have had the opportunity to spend so many years here already, and it's been quite a few years. And I love the love that you show me and my family, and I love the fact that we are growing together. It's a church that cares for one another. It's a church that shows a willingness to grow and improve itself, and I'm really appreciative of that, and I love the group of people here. I love that we have visitors here today. I love that we have so many people from our community, family members from out of town that have come and are showing interest in God's things, showing that this is important and that it's something that you desire to be a part of. But one of the reasons I love assembling with this church and with those who choose to be here is because of the encouragement that it brings, because it's an encouraging thing to be with God's people. And I think that's the way it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be encouraging. It's supposed to lift us up and edify us for having been here. As we begin thinking about this question, this idea of the assembly and things that are most important in the assembly, I just want to ask you to reflect on this kind of a question. Why are you here today? I love the encouragement that I get out of this assembly and out of this congregation, and maybe that's your answer as well. But why do you assemble with this church? Most of us, if we're from this area, and maybe even if you're not from this area, we live in a place, a part of the country, a part of the world even, in which there are a lot of area churches that we could attend. Please don't go to those churches, stay here. But there are a lot of places that we could choose to attend and worship and assemble with believers on a Sunday like this. But every Sunday you get up and you make a choice, right? You have a choice to assemble. Even you have a choice to assemble with the saints or not assemble with the saints. That's a choice that you make. But there's some reason that you're here today, right? There's some reason that you've decided to come with God's people on this occasion today. Why did you choose to be here today? I assume it's because you find some value here. I assume it's because you find some value in this assembly. Whether maybe you have some immediate value, like the encouragement that I feel when I'm here. Maybe you say, this is an encouraging place to be, and I find immediate value in my life right now. Maybe you don't find that, but maybe you see some future value. Maybe you're in it for the long haul, and you understand that there's some future benefits, some eternal benefits even, from being with God's people today. There are a lot of reasons to assemble. And our reasons may change over time from week to week. But I want to think about this a little bit with you. Why do we assemble? And I want to do that by trying to answer this question. What is the most important aspect of our assembly? What is the most important part of what we're doing here? What is the reason for this gathering? There's a lot of ideas, and I'd just like to think about it a little bit with you this morning. First of all, let's start here. When we think about what the world thinks about what we're doing here, when we think about what unbelievers in our communities, or even those who may be self-proclaimed Christians and may not know the true faith or something like that, many in the world look at the assembly and think only of self as part of that assembly. This attitude is evident, I think, in a lot of situations, isn't it? This is the kind of attitude that says, I will go to assembly, I will go to worship with the church, I will go and align myself with the church, but only if it offers the kinds of relationships that I'm looking for, only if it offers the kind of activities that I desire, right? That's really a rather selfish way to look at God's people and the church. We'll seek a church, we'll go and assemble with the church, but only if it serves me and what I want. This is a mindset that holds self up as the most important part of the assembly. Doesn't matter what else is happening. Did I get anything out of that? As long as I'm getting something, it's fine. But if my needs aren't being met, I'm out, right? That's the kind of selfish attitude that some people in the world have about God's assembly. Of course, God intends for our assemblies to build one another up. You should leave this place built up. You should leave this place encouraged and better for being here. We should get something out of being together with Christians. In fact, that's why I've invited you to open to Hebrews chapter 10. So if you've opened to Hebrews chapter 10, let's read that now. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. The Hebrews writer says, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assemblings together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." The Hebrews writer says, part of the reason you're here, or should be here, is because there's some mutual edification. There's some mutual benefit for being here. You're built up, I'm built up, everybody leaves stronger than when they came. Part of the reason we assemble together is so that we can build one another up. So the Hebrews writer says, don't avoid that place. Don't forsake the assembly, but go and build them up. I certainly hope that you are encouraged and strengthened by being here, but there's an important caveat to make. Hebrews chapter 10 is not about you assembling with the church to have your own needs met. That's nowhere found in Hebrews 10, at least in verses 24 and 25 where we just read. It's about you assembling with the church so that you can meet other people's needs. See, selfishness really doesn't have any place in the Christian life. We're not to look out for our own interests. The reason we should assemble is not so that our needs can be met or so that we can be built up, although I hope that is a side effect of this, but rather we need to assemble so that we can build one another up. Even so, I would suggest that mutual edification, though it is one important part of our assemblies, it's not the reason we assemble. It's not the most important part of our assemblies. The assumption that the most important aspect of our assembly is me and my desires is at best misguided and at worst fleshly minded. So the world says it's me. What do I get out of the assembly? I don't think that's the biblical way to look at it. So some Christians come along, and we who are believers in God, who know the gospel, God's people come along and we say, well, we're not so carnally minded, right? We don't have those kinds of problems. We hold up spiritual things as more important in our assemblies, right? Our interests here are not in serving ourselves, I hope, but our interests are in worshiping God, right? Isn't that why we're here? We come to worship. We come to serve God, to please Him in everything that we do. And so to that end, we assemble to complete certain acts of worship. And what I mean by that, what I mean by acts of worship, is that we read in the Bible that the first Christians did certain worshipful things together. They did certain worshipful things together, and we try to do those same things together. They prayed, we pray. They sang, we sing. They memorialize the Lord's death through a meal. We memorialize the Lord's death through a meal. We look at what they did that was worshipful, and we try to model that in our own lives. That's what I mean by acts of worship. For the sake of simplicity, we usually identify five acts of worship. Singing, praying, the memorial meal, giving, and preaching. And those are typically, traditionally, kind of the way we've summarized that, just for simplicity's sake. As we try to focus on spiritual, worshipful activities, we might end up holding up one or more of these as the reason we assemble, as the most important aspect of our worship or of our assemblies. And these worshipful acts are important. Obviously, they're things that the first Christians did. And trying to model that or trying to mirror that, we do those things as well because we find value in them and we believe God finds value in them. But perhaps we come to believe that certain aspects are more important than the others. Perhaps we believe that the Lord's Supper is the most important aspect of our assembly. Acts chapter 20 and verse 7 may lead us to that conclusion. It certainly indicates that it was at least a major reason that Paul stopped in Troas. Acts 20 verse 7 says, they made sure to go there on the first day of the week so that they could break bread with the brethren. That's an important aspect of Paul's worship there in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7. Obviously, the Lord's Supper is God's established memorial meal, and it is a significant memorial meal. But is it the reason we're here? Is that the most important aspect of what we're doing when we come together on Sunday? I'm afraid that sometimes we've mistakenly exalted that to a place it does not deserve. Some act as if their whole duty as a Christian is wrapped up in taking communion. As if there are no other expectations for a Christian's life, that this is the end all, the be all of what it means to be a Christian. But I don't think that's true. Perhaps we exalt other aspects of our worship. Perhaps we believe that our preaching is the most important aspect of our assembly. I know y'all don't struggle with that, but maybe some places really, really like their preacher and really think that that's the most important aspect of our worship. You should come to my church because we've got a really great preacher, right? What? Why are we exalting that? Anybody can serve the Lord's Supper, right? We'll let anybody say a prayer, but we reserve the place of preaching for a special person. Why? Because we hold it up and exalt it to a place that it does not belong? Preaching the word is very important. Don't misunderstand me. But exalting preachers and exalting preaching is not a recipe for a healthy church. Maybe we idolize other kinds of aspects of our worship to God. But let me reiterate. The worshipful activities that we do here are important. The things that we're going to partake in here in just a few moments, the Lord's Supper, the contribution to the work of the church, the prayers that we say together, the songs that we lift up to God, those are vastly important. But are they the most important aspect of our assemblies? Are they the reason why we've assembled together? I don't think so. If we make our assemblies strictly about these activities, we'll soon find ourselves merely trying to observe certain sacraments to keep good standing with the church. That's not what God intended at all. There's a more fundamental aspect of our assembly that is far more important, rises head and shoulders above all of these things. As important as these things are, there's a more important reason we're here. The Bible teaches that the most important aspect of our assembly must always be God. That's most important. God. After all, God must be the central focus of everything that we do in life. I'm going to turn over to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, down in verse 17, Paul says, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Every aspect of your life needs to be consumed with God. Down in verse 23 of that same chapter, he says almost the same kind of thing in verse 23 of Colossians 3. "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." Everything that you do needs to be consumed with God, focused on God, centralized around God. There's no part of my life, there's no part of your life that isn't touched or really encompassed by the authority of God. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." That means there's no authority that isn't his. There's no part of your life that should not be touched by him. When it comes to the church setting, when it comes to our assembly specifically, what we're doing here in this place, what we do as a church collectively, God is to be preeminent. If you're still in Colossians, I'm going to flip back a page or two to Colossians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul says this, "He," speaking of Jesus, the Christ, God the Son, "he is also head of the body," the church, "and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything." What's the reason we're here? Why do we assemble together? Why do we join with people of like faith who believe like we do? And why do we encourage one another? And why do we share in the Lord's Supper? And why do we engage in preaching? Why do you listen to me drone on for hours every week? Why? Because God has first place in our hearts. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 21, Paul said it this way to the Ephesians, "To him, be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. I can't think of any biblical principle or any logical reason that would relinquish God to a lesser position in our assemblies than in any other aspect of our lives. God should have first place in our lives, and He ought to have first place in our church. God must be central. God must be the focus of our assemblies. God is the most important. He's the most important aspect of all that we do here. Ultimately, this is a matter of priorities. That's what we're talking about. It's a matter of priorities. I'm not saying that our mutual and personal edification aren't important. I'm not saying that you should walk out of this building and feel really down on yourself if you were really encouraged by this. Like, that's not the point. I'm not saying that the Lord's Supper is unimportant or it's not a major reason why we're here. I'm not saying that the preaching or other aspects of worship aren't important. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that the reason we should strive for mutual edification is because it glorifies God when we mutually edify one another. What I am saying is that the reason we should engage in worshipful activities like the Lord's Supper and preaching and singing is because it glorifies God. It brings glory to Him. To give these actions preeminence as the most important, to place emphasis on external things outside of God, is in essence to put the cart before the horse. We've got to keep God first. To give these kinds of actions preeminence as the most important things is ultimately, in its most extreme form, to dethrone God. While we spend a fair amount of time thinking about what we do in our assemblies, we should never overlook the fact, we should never stop thinking about the fact that we need to remember why we do what we do. Why do we do these things? Why do we assemble together? Why are we here? God is the reason. God is the reason for our assemblies. If we come to this assembly without this understanding that God is the reason we're here, then everything that we do here will fall flat. I'm glad that you're here. I'm glad that we've come together and assembled to worship our God, to encourage one another, to share in a memorial feast, to sing praises. I'm glad that we're here because it's important that we're here. But I want to challenge you to understand why we're here. The things that we do here are valuable because of God. We do the things that we do here in order to bring glory and honor to God. Our assemblies are designed to remind each other about God's importance in our lives. These gatherings are to show the world that we are first and foremost loyal to God. That's why we're here. If there's any way that we can serve you today, if there's any way that we can build you up in order to bring glory and honor to our Father, then we want to help you with that. If we can help you see God as glorious, we want to do that. We want to invite you to glorify God with us. We're going to have an opportunity in our worship period right now that if you have needs that you need to make, things you need to make right in your life, now would be an excellent opportunity. We can pray with you. We can encourage you. We can try to build you up in your faith before we proceed any further in our worship period. But if you have needs you need to take care of right now, you're welcome to come and let us know what those are as we stand and as we sing a song of encouragement.